May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The transforming power of God. The transforming power of God. Perfect power? Yes, perfect power. This last Wednesday, Canada Day was celebrated across our country, from coast to coast, and in many countries around the world where Canadians reside. And today, we take the opportunity to do likewise here within our church family. God keep our land glorious and free. We just sang that this morning. It is part of our national anthem. But I believe that if we were to take a random poll and to ask Canadians for some words that best describe their aspirations for our country, we might get responses like united, tolerant, powerful. And I believe that perhaps there are those who would propose that we are already at that point as a country, that we are already united, that we are already tolerant, and that we are already powerful. Yes, a strong nation maintaining peace, order, and good government, and at the same time being an influential force for good as part of the global community. And today, the theme of power is quite compelling, isn't it? Because it is apparent in all the three scripture readings that you just heard. Generally, power is associated with abundant resources, with wealth, with success, with control of one's destiny. And these forms of power are often linked to human characteristics like ambition and motivation. But for the Christian, power, all power, comes from God, who is the source of our strength. And so, I invite you to reflect with me on God's transforming power, perfect power, based on the readings for today. The first reading from 2 Samuel chapter 5 describes the anointing of David as king of all Israel. And subsequently, he established the seat of government in Jerusalem and became increasingly powerful as he united his people. Power was entrusted to David as each step of his way was authorized by God. And David was assured that he was chosen by God to be the shepherd of God's flock. Furthermore, if we look closely at the reading, we would recognize another aspect of God's power, and that is team support. And I draw this to our attention because David was actually approached by the elders of Israel and approved by them. So David became stronger and stronger, a gradual rise to power from humble beginnings as a shepherd boy to warrior and now king. Nevertheless, he remained humble and followed the will of God, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. So through the will of God and the obedience of David, a divided, weak, and vulnerable people was transformed into a united, strong, and free kingdom. It was through God's guidance that David succeeded. and unlike many of the rulers of his time who based their greatness on power, armies, and wealth, David acknowledged that his greatness came from God and God alone. So then, God's power is manifested through his will and his guidance. In the second reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul explains how his weakness was used to show God's power. God's strength is made perfect in weakness, he wrote. This is total and complete submission to God, and places before us a contrast between our human weakness and God's omnipotence. When we are weak in ourselves, we are strong in the grace of God. And when we feel that we are weak, we go to God. We receive strength and become empowered by God's grace. And as God gives us strength to handle our failures, he demonstrates his power through our human frailty. So far, we have considered how God's power is manifested through his direct command, and also how God's strength is demonstrated through our weakness. Now let us take a look at the Gospel reading from Mark chapter 6. This describes the rejection of Jesus by the people of his own hometown of Nazareth. But this reading also tells us how he commissioned and sent the 12 apostles, directly giving them the power to cast out unclean spirits and the authority to preach and to anoint the sick. It is clear then that the power of God is manifested through the Holy Spirit. And in fact, Jesus' disciples were sent out with nothing, becoming vulnerable and totally dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit to guide them. This passage reminds us that God's power is also evident through the earthly ministry of Jesus and the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit. And so, in closing, allow me to suggest three Christian disciplines to enable the power of God to work in and through us. First consideration, let us practice humility. Practice humility. Although David was doing well, he kept a close relationship with God and led his people according to the intentions of God. And this is certainly a lesson for us all, to bring our goals in line with God's will for us. Secondly, trust God. An invitation to trust God. We should always turn to God in prayer and depend on him for help. And from the second reading, we know that although God did not remove Paul's physical pain, he demonstrated his power in Paul. And likewise, if we acknowledge our shortcomings, we would turn to God and find solutions. The power of God's grace that was enough for Paul would certainly be adequate for any difficulties we may face. So then, we practice humility, we trust God, and finally, we provide mutual support. Jesus sent out his disciples two by two to support each other. And acknowledging that our strength comes from God, we also recognize that God meets many of our needs through our teamwork with others. And similarly, Jesus calls us to work with each other, that together we would have the faith, the courage, and the strength to respond in obedient service to our all-powerful God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.